Hey, everybody, welcome to our podcast. I'm Daphne.
And I'm Wendy.
And I'm Jason.
And this is the Handmaid's Tale podcast.
This episode, we're going to go through all the feedback for The Handmaid's Tale Season 5, Episode 9, Allegiance, and any other feedback that you've sent in or we've missed for the last several episodes and maybe even the season in general.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear what everyone thinks about these episodes.
We got some really great ones.
That's awesome. So we're going to go in reverse order and talk about episode 9 first and then go over any other feedback. As Wendy said, I will take the first one. It's from Alicia Stout. It says, "You guys are going to hate me for saying this, but I have been a June and Nick shipper from the beginning. But I must say now, I can't love Luke and June more. Not only are they absolutely perfect and beautiful together, but this season the show has given us an intimate peek into their relationship from before they were captured at the beginning of the series. I mean, come on, the man is raising his wife's baby from another man as if it's its own child with no questions. I mean, who does that? Luke is a saint, and I now see how much he worships the ground June walks on. Not to mention he is better looking than Nick, and he is just a doll. I have a feeling, as we all get from watching this show, that in the future that may change because Nick is still around and he still has deep feelings for June, which was evident in this episode, LOL. I would love to see Nick move to Canada and be more of a father to Nicole. Makes me sad that he's not part of her life. By the way, it would be super interesting to get a storyline between Nick, June, and Luke with Nicole. I hope we get a little of that next season. Oh, Lawrence is in top form as usual. I love it. Who doesn't love a Corinthians, especially 1 Corinthians? I'm dying. That verse is my favorite and hangs in my kitchen. Loving the podcast this season, guys, and I cannot wait to hear Jason talk about Serena after last week's episode since he was out."
That was last week. Oh, first off, when you say you're going to hate me for saying this, that makes me feel kind of bad because even though I'll express like a strong opinion, especially about Nick over the time we've podcasted, I know there's listeners who like Nick and I don't want them to feel like, I don't know, we don't like them or something. Like, everybody has their own opinions. And that's totally cool with me.
I think I liked Nick better before. And this season, I just kind of, it's just a little hard to figure out what they're doing with him. He's just kind of there.
That's kind of how I've always felt about him, to be honest.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like he's under Lawrence's wing, but not really. He's kind of just going along and supporting pretty much everything Lawrence does.
Yeah, that's what it seems like.
I don't know if he's playing a long game or what's going to happen, but that's what I'm thinking right now.
But you guys are right. You've brought up a couple of times that, you know, there was some point, I think in season 3, where somebody's like, "You don't know him. He was one of the main soldiers or something like that." I forgot exactly what it was, but yeah, like there was this big story about him. So there's got to be more.
Yeah. And I think we still don't know him.
And I hope they don't just drop that.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think they will. I think they're saving it.
Yeah.
I hope so, because I know Wendy and I in particular have been advocating for there to be a Nick backstory episode so that we could get a little bit of info on what exactly he did or what his involvement was when they blew up the Capitol.
One thing that this storyline brings up in me, and maybe I'm hesitant to say it sometimes, but I'm curious to get both of your feedback. That so we have June, who's the protagonist, and she was forced to be in Gilead and had this affair with Nick. and kind of fell in love with him, but she also loves Luke, and people are like shipping her with both and stuff. And I wonder if there would be a similar kind of feeling if the genders were all reversed. It was a guy, and he, every time he saw, you know, Nicolette, they like made out, and then he went back home to Lucy.
I think probably the opinions would be stronger, but I kind of feel that way about June now. Like, you're either committed to your relationship right now or you're not. And some of her actions, like, it was more understandable when she first got out of Gilead, because that has to be totally fucked up and confusing. But now, I didn't like the things that she said to Nick. I felt like it was a disservice to Luke. Didn't like it.
Yeah, like, over time, you need to sort of get it together, right? Like, yeah, there's more leeway for having trauma and not really having processed your feelings and everything.
And I mean, they didn't, I don't think they even touched each other.
They didn't.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was good, because if they had started making out.
She wanted to, right? I mean, it's pretty clear. You know, it's probably hard for anyone to hear a guy say she wanted it, but he went in to kiss her and she really seemed receptive, you know, and she had just said, "I wish the whole world could disappear," which basically means so we can do whatever we want, you know.
I also think, though, that she is coming off this failed mission that she was a part of. You know, she provided the CD or the DVD to Tuello. She's coming off this failed mission, the failed attempt to get Hannah. She knows how important it would be for Nick to defect and be part of this American country, whatever's left of it. Maybe, yes. She probably does have those feelings, but I also think she's at a heightened sense of emotion just because of what's been happening as well.
Yeah, I think it's definitely complicated.
Yeah.
But I do think you're right. It would probably be stronger opinions out there if the genders were reversed.
More judgment about it. But I mean, I think, yeah, she has strong emotions about Nick. And she said to Nick, "I don't want to mess up your life or anything." So, you know, we all know what it's like to, like, you have a crush on somebody, but you're like, no, that can't be. It's complicated. It really is. And it feels true to life to me, but it also makes me feel bad for Luke.
And she has a complicated relationship with Luke. I mean, they were apart for 5 years, a good part of that time. She didn't know whether he was dead or alive. I think she probably assumed he was dead based on him being captured, you know.
And I think maybe it's only a small part, but there is a small part of her that resents him for not risking himself to come and try to save her. That came out this season a little bit.
Yeah, you know? She's lashed out about that before.
And probably her logical mind is like, no, that would have been a death sentence for him. But there's a part of her that's like, with all the shit that I went through, and you didn't even, you know.
Right. And she probably assumed he was dead, and finding out he was alive was like, You escaped to Canada and left me behind. Yeah. There's a little tiny smidge of that in her.
Sure. And I can't blame her for feeling that way, even though there was nothing he really could have done. You just can't escape those kinds of feelings. It's not fair.
No, it's, yeah.
But I think she also can relate to that, because she blames herself for leaving Hannah behind.
Yeah.
And I think she can relate to Luke in that sense. I mean, there's nothing you can do. You're doing everything you can, which seems like very little. And that doesn't give you any solace at all. It just makes you feel like you failed. Yeah, it's shitty. So thank you, Alicia, for sending that in. Jason, would you like to take the next one?
Yeah. So my Almardini says, "Great episode. Yes, they got me cheering for Serena to escape. I just hope she gets away and doesn't get arrested for kidnapping Noah, since he's not actually in her custody. Will Mark come to the rescue? Will she join him in June, now seeing the monster society she's helped to create? Man, the Wheelers are horrible. That slap reminded me of how Serena did that to June before. I know, me too. I do think she's redeemable at this point, though. I don't think she believes in Gilead any longer. She's just trying to survive and escape. I think they left us a big Easter egg. Nick truly loves Rose, and the comment about the generic risk leaves them exposed, so perhaps they will take, or genetic risk, sorry, leaves them exposed, so perhaps they will take Mark's offer as their child seems to be in danger. But I've been converted to Team Luke. I used to be Team Nick. However, Luke has been amazing lately. When June was telling him to let her go, I think she meant back to Gilead. She's staying for him and Nicole now. Lawrence with Naomi should be an interesting coupling. June finally tells him the truth. I'm no longer cheering for him. I used to think he wanted to do good, but he's just brutal. And Hannah Banana remembers who she is. Hannah Banana.
That still floors me. I guess I have more hope now that if she gets to reunite with her mother, it won't be quite as much of a culture shock as I was thinking it could be. At least she does know or remember something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a little confusing because the last we saw of her when she was in that glass enclosure, she just seemed to be super scared of June. And I wonder if we'll ever find out where her head was at that point and where it is now.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
All right. Megan Dolores Rickelman says, penultimate episode, come and gone, and I have absolutely no idea what the finale has in store at this point. I can't believe we still haven't gotten more on Nick. I was betting on a backstory or something good by now. I know Jason hasn't been a big fan of his, but I certainly have. However, I'm annoyed at the mystery surrounding his motives and history. Nick has always selflessly prioritized June and Nicole's safety and freedom above all else. I don't understand the character change here with him wanting them to go to New Bethlehem. Lawrence, good God, I'm so angry with him. I was trusting him too much, I guess. I knew as soon as we met that American commander, Elijah, father character, that he was a goner, but it still hurts so much. Serena, I was rooting for her all episode and loving that feeling. Where to for her next? Hannah, she wrote her name. That was my favorite detail of the episode, and I love how it looked just like her 5-year-old self would write it. Like that was the only thing she ever got a chance to learn. Can't wait to hear where you all think this is headed. Thanks for the perfect companion pod. Oh, thank you so much. So sweet.
I like that she pointed out Hannah writing her name like a 5-year-old, because is all that she would know.
Right.
Well, it's interesting. Like my daughter has been on a computer since like 3rd grade. She's always done everything on a computer. So her handwriting, I mean, she's grown, but her handwriting looks like a child's because she never writes anything.
I know. Kids don't even learn handwriting script anymore.
No.
They don't learn it. And when Nico, I just saw him sign his name today and he just wrote it like a kindergartner. Yep. He's 11 years old.
Because they don't need it. Yeah, they do everything on the computer.
But how are they going to sign? Like when they're 50 years old, it's just going to look like kindergartner.
Yep.
They won't have to sign. It'll be some microchip thing, maybe, Jason.
God. Like even if she has to write a note to herself or anything like that, she pulls out her phone, puts it on her phone.
I do that too.
Mm-hmm. I do that a lot. It's easier.
So Nick, you guys have to remind me, did Nick advocate for June going to New Bethlehem?
He asked her.
He did. Okay. Yeah. I just think, I mean, Nick's a little more mysterious. People are, you guys included, just like, okay, Lawrence is the devil again. To me, he's totally consistent with what he's been the whole time. He was one of the architects of Gilead, so clearly he didn't think the world was working as it is, and he still doesn't think it was working. He's like, no, there was toxic waste and low birth rate, we had to do something. But then he realized that he fucked up and it went too far, and now he's ashamed of how far it went, but not to the point where he wants to go back to the other thing that he think wasn't working. He just wants to try to fix what he did. Now, I, as we said last time, I don't think that's really possible. It's so rotten that it just needs to be gotten rid of and try something else. But it's consistent for me with where he seemed to be the whole time.
I don't think he's the devil. I think he has good intentions, but bad execution. There's lots of people like that. And I think he's willing to hurt other people for his good intentions. And I don't like that.
I think that Nick has shown some chinks in his decision-making, especially this season, because when he went to talk to Tuello on the gazebo, Mackenzie came over and saw him and said he'd be watching him. You could tell Nick knew that he's starting to make these mistakes, and I'm just worried that he's going to make even bigger ones.
Mm-hmm.
Because his emotions are starting to get the best of him. I think now that he's going to be a father again with Rose, I think he genuinely does care for her. Plus, he's got this emotional attachment to June. I'm worried he's going to keep making these mistakes, and it's just going to get worse.
Ooh, and what if their baby does have some kind of a genetic defect? Do we know how Gilead looks on that? It could be pretty bad.
I almost think it will happen because otherwise, why put that in the plot? And
some societies, you never know what that could mean for them.
Yeah.
Well, so there was a flashback scene last season of June was remembering when she first got captured. It so struck me. I can't go back and watch it again. It was so terrible. And there were all these obvious special need children, like kids with Down syndrome and things like that, being rounded up. Like, it was a brief, like,
that's right.
5 seconds.
In the back of my head.
Yeah. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So, yeah.
It's terrible.
I don't think they look kindly on it.
The Humana Honor Medicare Advantage Plan gives you $1,860 back each year in your Social Security check. Choose coverage that helps you keep more money in your pocket. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. The Part B Give Back benefit pays part or all of your Part B premium, and the amount may change based on the amount you pay for Part B. Limitations and restrictions may apply. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
Just got a free coffee with my EarnIFI points.
Your what?
The points I get with the new EarnIFI app from BP and Amoco. I got 250 for signing up and more every time I fill up or buy anything in the C-store.
Oh, can you use points for fuel?
Of course.
And discounts and deals?
On anything.
Oh, like chips?
Mm-hmm.
Sodas?
You got it.
The actual slushy machine.
Only what's actually for sale. But you do get double the points for the first 90 days. Just go to EarnIFIRewards.com to download the app.
Available at participating locations only. App content is subject to change.
Whose turn is it?
Mine. So I'll take the next one. Wow. This is from JC Harris. Wow, what an episode. I don't know how they make me cheer for Serena after everything, but I love that she got away. I wonder if she'll go to Gilead. Tell the commanders there that the Wheelers don't take orders from them. I hope not. Prefer she just find a safe place within Canada. Where else can she go, though? Love that Hannah wrote her name, but how does she remember herself as Hannah? The last few times June saw her, she didn't even seem like she recognized her. It felt a little out of the blue to me. The failed mission was rough, but you sort of knew going into it that it wasn't going to work. I just finished listening to your guys' podcast on this episode, and none of you seemed to like the whole Nick June part. I have always liked them more than most seem to. I thought it was sad and sweet. Not sure if the smile at the end from June, though, was like a happy she got to see him and it's over now so she can move on, or if it was some sort of recognition that he is more into Gilead than she thought and she's glad to realize that she can now be done with him. One more episode and then we wait. Wow. Love the podcast. Keep up the amazing work. I'm not looking forward to the wait. I'm looking forward to watching the finale, but I'm not looking forward to the break in between because this show has just got me so emotionally stressed at times that, I mean, it's great that we can all come down from that, but I'm used to it now, and then I'll have to get used to it again when we get pulled back in.
I'm looking forward to the break, but I'm also pretty fearful about the last season.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't find this season as emotionally stressing as any of the other ones.
Agree. Although we haven't seen the finale yet.
Yeah,
we haven't seen the finale. I know. I shouldn't talk so
soon. They saved it all.
It could be. Where, you know, Serena, will she go back to Gilead? I highly doubt she go back to Gilead. Right?
Yeah, I think she's learned her lesson. Unless she has
some plan.
It's been such a yo-yo. I hate to try to predict it, but I wouldn't. You would think she's learned her lessons.
Yeah. She's got nothing good there, and it seems like her position is worse than ever. So I'm so fascinated to see what she does next.
Yeah, me too. We didn't get a lot of her in this last episode.
Mm-hmm. Two, we have to remember, Lawrence pretty much left her there to live with the Wheelers. So I would take that as a sign that Gilead is not an option. Fly away, Serena, far, far away.
Right. Fly, you fool. Okay, so now we're going into season 5, episode 8, Motherland. Lisa Moreno says, "Hi, ladies." Hi. Haven't posted this season because the format has messed me up and I forget. Your coverage has been great. The season has been so good and it's going by too fast.
She also had posted some talk about testaments. So I didn't include that in here because it was a little spoilery. But Lisa, hit me up and I'll talk about testaments. I'd love to do a podcast about testaments too. I think that would be great.
Yeah. I'm interested in that as well. I haven't read it yet because I'm going to wait. I've decided.
I would wait till after season 6.
This is over.
Yeah.
I know a few things that have gone on.
Mm-hmm.
And that tells me enough that no, I don't want to know anymore until we're done with the show.
All right. Joanna Hetzler says, "Commander Lawrence, this whole time I couldn't figure him out. This episode, the writers really showed us more of his heart and agenda, which was really cool. Unfortunately, his idea of New Bethlehem is delusional. He created a monster in Gilead, and he thinks he can tame it. For such a smart, witty guy, he's quite clueless." That's exactly how I feel.
Yes.
Yeah, me too.
I think we got to see that, especially the last episode and the one before.
And I almost think he knows it, but it's like he feels like it's the only course of action for him, and so he's just moving forward. And, you know, we see people do that.
Yeah. Sometimes you push through.
Yep.
Knowing that your direction is kind of aimless. But it's the only way to survive, so you just keep doing it because it's become life and comfortable or normal. So, Linda Pilgrim says, "Much slower than last week, but still kept my interest, and I loved every minute of it."
Now, we do have a call for this one, and it's from Fran.
Yay, Fran!
Hi, you guys, it's Fran. Okay, just finished Motherland, and wow. I have to say, I just love the show so much. It's so great. But I was really angry at June in this episode for wanting to take Nicole to the new Gilead or the new Bethlehem. And how could she do that? How could she think that that was something that was okay? I understand her wanting to go back to get Hannah, but how could she think that it was okay for Nicole to go? And I think she was kind of rude to Luke about it, and I understand her points, but she's just not thinking. So I was really happy at the end when they were going to get Hannah back for her, and I was just waiting for something bad to happen, like the house would explode or somebody would take June off the street, but it didn't. And it was kind of a weird moment, like it's supposed to be happy and it's never happy. So anyway, that's all I got this week. Can't wait to hear you guys talk about the next episode. I can't believe there's only two left. Oh, my God. All right. Talk to you soon. Bye.
That's great. Thank you, Fran.
Yeah, thanks, Fran.
Yeah, we thought the school might blow up. I was afraid of that, too.
Yeah. That's I was a little worried that the next season would open. The next episode would open up with bombs dropping.
or a funeral procession.
Oh my god.
It's just this show, you
were traumatized.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No one is safe. Like, nobody is safe. And
right,
you can just hope for the best and maybe someone will get a happy ending. Who I mean, it is, no one knows.
The only one I feel like is probably safe from dying is June, because she's the protagonist, but she goes through the worst, you know, especially in earlier seasons, almost a fate worse than death sometimes.
Okay, so we're descending into no man's land, which was episode 7.
Tara Doe says, I wonder how long the teaming up of Serena and June will last. It seems that once the guys get involved, it ruins everything, even sweet Luke. Yeah, it didn't really last very long.
Mm-mm.
Nope. Erica Furter says, I just watched last night so I can finally catch up to the podcast. What a beautifully performed and filmed episode. Also gut-wrenching. I know so much is taken from real life, so I had a real difficult time with the ending. Made me think of women who are incarcerated or the children that were detained by the U.S. from the Mexican border. That's definitely what I was thinking about.
I had a tough time with that, too.
Women in the prison system.
Mm-hmm.
And we were able to get Kelly's opinion of that, because Kelly is a labor and delivery nurse, and she's talked about that she has, you know, had that experience. I think probably every labor and delivery nurse does.
What, where they're helping a inmate give birth and then has to watch the baby get separated or something?
Yes.
Mm.
And I know in many places they require them to be handcuffed at all times. It's kind of crazy.
So Eileen Weiner says, first and foremost, I had a rule that I would never listen to a Handmaid's Tale podcast in which there was a man participating. I felt that no man could ever know how it feels to be forced to have a child and then give it up. Men can be raped and tortured, but they can't become impregnated. But Jason's heartfelt reactions and very thoughtful participation has proved me wrong, at least in this case. He's so very empathetic, and in the last podcast where you could hear how emotional he was, I teared up as well. As far as Serena is concerned, being and saying sorry means nothing to me. Now that she knows what it feels like to live in a house as a prisoner, be treated like a handmaid, be shackled to a hospital bed, give up her baby, etc., of course she's sorry. I commend June for taking the high road and finding it in her heart to forgive her, and I know they bonded over the childbirth. Let's not forget how horrible Serena was to June over and over again. Wah, wah, wah. Call the whambulance. Poor Serena feels bad now. While watching the episode, I felt like, yes, this is a TV show, and they're trying to make me feel bad for this person. Thus, TV land. And I don't forgive Negan either.
Woo! Me neither. Well, that's really nice to hear. Thank you. I know I don't always... I know, I bet you some people have heard me on here and just stopped listening, but I appreciate that that you think I'm doing all right. I get to read another one by Mai Almardini, who says, what an incredible episode. It may be the only one I could ever rewatch. Now, remember, we're talking about the one where June helped Serena give birth, which was an incredible episode. I'd say my favorite of the season for sure. She says, I was watching it while holding my sleeping baby, and it was so heartbreaking watching Serena's baby get taken away, despite the fact that I do not like her. Even June wanted Serena to have Noah. I think she believed it would make her a better person. I'm still not sure if Serena's redeemed herself, but June definitely has for me. I don't blame her for killing Waterford. I don't like the savage way that she did it. That's why I stopped liking June, but I'm fully back on board. I think Luke has brought her back. Also, this is the second show this season that's given us a horrible C-section death. I got House of the Dragon vibes there. So horrifying. Oh, I was trying to remember. That was in the flashbacks.
Yeah, the flashback.
Is CAS, the modern day version of Gilead. What's CAS? In Canada, we had a problem with them taking children away from Indigenous women as they didn't think they were fit. This is very much what Gilead was doing to women who they didn't deem fit. The children were never better off without their parents. I'm viewing these shows with such a different light, having recently become a parent. They were horrifying before, but now they're even worse. Also, June said, "It'll be like it's in a manger, LOL. Do you think June is religious? She does seem to use the greetings when she doesn't have to, or does she just do it to get to Serena's level of thinking?" I think she might be religious, right?
I think June's Christian.
Yeah, I think she is, yeah.
I don't know for sure.
She told Serena she was a better Christian than Serena.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But that may have been just getting at her, too. You know?
Maybe. Nye-nye. Probably doesn't take much to be a better Christian.
Right. No.
I think what she's talking about is the historical treatment of Indigenous women in Canada has made a lot of publicity recently in the last year or so.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that sounds horrible.
Mm-hmm. All right. Priscilla Manji says, "I just wanted to share my thoughts regarding the question that came up during episode 7 about Serena and June giving silent glances during the birth in the flashback. The way I understood it, based on the edit, they were both giggling or making fun of the wife acting along with the handmaid. You can tell June is totally amused at how ridiculous it is for the wife to sit there and pretend as though she can feel the same real pain the handmaid is going through." Mm. If you juxtapose that with Serena's very real birth, it is interesting that we didn't have to watch Serena fake labor with June in the earlier seasons. Labor pains are very real and intense and emotional. I understand it must be sad for the wives to not have the opportunity to go through this rite of passage as women, but when they willingly go the handmaid's route, it is even more of a slap in the face to the handmaids after already going through rape to get to this point. Having their master sit above them pretending they are feeling the same thing and not truly earning that badge of honor, and then taking the baby away as though they achieved the miracle themselves, so tragic. I started imagining how silly it would be for the wives to practice their birthing act. Do they even want to do that? Do they have meetings for tips on how to act like you are having birth? Serena was gifted the pass of not having to do that, thanks to June having Nicole alone on her own, which June brings up in the barn.
They did have, June was giving birth and Serena was in the other room being treated as if she was the one giving birth. Remember that? And all the wives were there and they were all gathered around her. I don't know if Serena.
I'm having trouble recollecting that episode.
No, I remember, yeah, Jason.
And I don't remember
it wasn't
if she
like
was
this.
Mimicking the birth. But she, no. But they were, I remember they were treating her as if this is your special day and she was laying down and everything.
It's just silly.
Yep.
And I'm sure many of them think it's silly.
Right.
The second shared glance after the baby is born, I think, was Serena asking her with her eyes if the girl made it. To me, it looked like June shook no, and then Serena nods, kind of like an "I'm sorry to hear that," so June nods back. Hmm. That is what I got out of it. I think Serena was legitimately concerned for the handmaid in that moment. If you remember, the wives were walked out of the room and are later shown celebrating the baby. They aren't worried at all about the handmaid and the sacrifice she just made. It is almost like they can't be bothered with it. They are just here for the baby. It is dreadful to think that the wife had no care in the world about her handmaid. This is what is different about June and Serena. As awful as Serena is, I do believe Serena would be sad if she saw June die giving childbirth. Throughout the series, we have seen glimpses of their connection. It is built on the idea of, you are a strong, intelligent woman who makes shit happen just like me. For all their differences, they do totally respect each other's strength. They are equal in their abilities to do amazing things. The Gilead birth process is both beautiful and demented. Beautiful because of sisterhood, demented because it is a warning or possible look ahead at what might happen to you as a handmaid. I like to think all the handmaids are praying for their fellow handmaid silently, and of course the baby too, but praying for their friend, praying they are never in the same situation, praying they don't have to see this sort of thing happen over and over again. To the larger topic that you all have brought up several times, I don't believe this is at all what Serena intended.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to get too much into it, but Serena may not have intended this, but if the whole point of taking over another country was to help improve the birth rate, then what else? What did she intend?
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, anyway, I love all that. Thank you. That was really interesting take on that scene, which I didn't fully understand.
Yeah. So, Jason, we have a voicemail also from that episode.
Oh, yeah.
Or actually, we have a couple of them.
Yeah. Okay, let's do the one first from Tammy.
Hey, everyone. Thanks so much for a fantastic podcast every week. I've been thinking a lot about the dynamic between Mrs. Wheeler and Serena. I was sure Serena had been classified as a handmaid, and they were just very focused on taking your baby. So I was confused when Mrs. Wheeler tried to set her up with the doctor. But I think I was missing the point. Fertility in babies are not the point. They are the excuse. They're currency for gaining power. Women in Gilead gain power by association with men. And Serena didn't really grasp her own vulnerability as a woman in this society until this moment, when she is pregnant and doesn't have a man. Mrs. Wheeler gets it. By setting Serena up, she can appear as a benevolent mistress of the house. She's confident and secure in her position above Serena. In fact, she's so secure she doesn't need to take the baby, because setting Serena up with the doctor would do the work of telling society how much power she has, with the added benefit of putting Serena in her debt. Nobody really cares about the kids. The infertility crisis was just an opportunity for bad men and opportunistic women to gain power. And I think that this is a parallel revelation to what Aunt Lydia is going through. Nobody cares about virtue. They care about control. My question now is, what do Lawrence and Nick actually care about? So again, thank you so much for a fascinating listen every week.
That was great.
That was great.
It's interesting because as I was listening to you, I was thinking, what about Lawrence? Because he does seem to care about the babies. If you can believe him anyway, which I granted, maybe not. But to me, it seems like that was his motivating factor. But I think you're right that, and I don't think it's as simple as people only cared about one thing. But I think by and large part that everything she said is totally right, that it's mostly about power.
It is. Mm-hmm.
And you can tell by how the mothers, a lot of the time the wives, just don't really seem to care that much about the babies, you know?
No. Mm-mm. They're just
a baby is a power pawn.
Yeah, they're just props in the life.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, actually, Naomi Putnam seems to care about her baby, at least a little.
More than she did at first.
Yeah, and Hannah's kidnapper, whatever you want to call it, seems to care about her.
That's true.
Yeah,
she does. Yeah, it depends on the person, I think. Yeah,
yeah.
But most of the men would probably be more interested in power,
right?
Yeah, and some of the women for sure. I mean, I actually, Naomi is one that I would say at first I was really getting vibes that she just doesn't care about the kids.
Yeah.
But
Wheeler, definitely
not at all. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the worst.
That baby's just a prop.
Totally. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's even thinking about his wife.
Well, she means
wanting
Mrs.
the
Wheeler,
baby.
Right.
Oh, Wendy. Yeah.
I thought you meant Mrs. Wheeler.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's what I mean. Yeah.
Mrs. Wheeler wants the baby. I don't think Mr. Wheeler cares.
But Mrs. Wheeler only wants the baby because of what it says about her.
Yeah.
That's what we think.
Because of her face. I mean, her face when the baby cried in the most recent episode, it was one of disgust.
Yeah.
Like, how dare you cry and
she wants to hold the baby and get her picture taken, but that's about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we had one more call from Red Leader Understudy.
Two women, one car. The pregnant one has a gun. Stuck in the mud in no man's land.
Well, it's finally the June and Serena buddy comedy sequel we've all been waiting for. And it had everything we wanted. They fight, they make up, a star is born, nobody shoots anybody, the end. First of all, you can definitely hate someone without leaving them to die of sepsis in a rickety pigeon barn. People do it all the time. She could have helped. They both could have been like, fuck you, June. No, fuck you, Serena, to each other the whole time, and then return to hatred as usual. But June breaks the cycle and switches it up with this powerful example of just how to be a better person. I think that moment, among others, touched Serena, and I hope it inspires her to do better. But more importantly, it frees June. Serena spent most of her life relying on external things like religious values to tell her if she's being a good person, and now she started clinging to June as her arbiter, and June just doesn't have to be that for her. So that night at the center when she kneels before June and asks for forgiveness, girl, no, June isn't gonna like baptize you into absolution here. And that expectation from the person you victimize is so narcissistic, it's mind-blowing. It's not their burden to steward your guilt. Go out and do the work. Figure out how to be a better fucking human being. And until now, Serena hasn't actually tried to do that. So is she going to do it now? Is she on a path to redemption? It kind of seems like it this time. I hope so. There's also a lot of places to be along the spectrum between a total piece of shit and a decent person. And people can do good and bad from many of those places. Incredible episode. I have so much more to say about this episode, but I'm trying to keep it short, so I will just end with, I look forward to Jason's redemption arc. See you guys next week.
Well, I think you might have gotten it, depending on what you meant by that.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, boy.
Now, she's asking if Serena's going to do the hard work of trying to make up for her actions, and we don't really know for sure because she's had no power, but the one thing I think of is when she was at the fertility center holding the baby and talking to the women and saying something about how Gilead has, you know, done so great because they cleaned up the toxic environment and increased the birth rate or whatever she said. And she said, and most of all, by, you know, living by the virtues of God and the highest of moral standards or something like that. And so who knows, maybe she's just saying what she knows she's supposed to say in this fertility center, but it sounds like she's preaching the, you know, the benefits of Gilead.
I think the first thing that Serena can do to start to make amends is to get Noah, take him far away from this and raise him to be a in a good and loving way, which is not the way that the kids in Gilead are being raised. Not really.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, she was preaching Gilead values again. You know, we don't know if you can believe what she's saying there, but she was doing it.
I think she believes some of it, but I also think she knows that it's too much. It's too far. I don't think she wants to raise Noah in Gilead at all now. I think she's going to run and find a place that's outside of its reach.
This is what I wonder. It's assuming she does have some type of redemption arc. Who's the villain then? You know? Like, her and Fred have been the villains of this show for 4 seasons and most of this season, too. So, Fred's gone, and if she is on a redemption arc, which I could embrace, I mean, I'd love to see it, then who's the villain of the show? Because, I'm sure there has to be more plot development and more character development, but I don't know that the Wheelers or
McKenzie's.
Or the McKenzies of the world can hold the real show of being the villain.
I mean, this season they made a real point to have, Serena and June at one point looked like they were going to be friends when Serena gave Nicole back to June in season three. And, but yeah, like you're saying, the show knows that it's more interesting when they're at odds. And so they put them back at odds and it is mm-hmm. more interesting. But if it's going to be a real examination of the kinds of things that happen in society, it could be, the villain is just the ideology, but I don't know if that makes for a good TV show, you know?
I think Gilead as a whole is the villain, and we're still not clear on Lawrence and Nick and what they really want.
I agree. I just feel like they're not going to turn them into the villains, but maybe, who knows?
But maybe
I'm ready for it, whatever happens.
I kind of hope that I would like it if Serena did turn over a new leaf or try something different, and that they move on from just having it be Serena versus June. We got that this season. Yeah. It was great. But next season, maybe do something else.
Right. And I think they will. I don't think they're going to. I mean, this show, you know, it's too good to just keep repeating. They're not going to do that.
Yeah.
Or if they do, they'll make it work.
Make it good. Yeah.
Because I definitely wouldn't have thought June would be delivering Serena's baby, but they made that work so well.
I'm not exactly sure what I'm needing to be redeemed from, by the way, but I'm not saying it's not true.
I'm not sure myself what that was a reference to, but
maybe defending Serena.
Maybe. I don't know.
Could be. So we did get some general feedback that was that Jason had put up a post about a week ago, and we did hear back from some fans who have been listening to us over the season. The first one is from Alma Contreras. She says, "This podcast was my first ever. I enjoyed it so much that when it was over, I looked further into Podcastica, and well, the rest is history. Thank you, Wendy, for the invite. The podcast has helped me digest the intense and disturbing themes in the show. So far, the season has completely been a pleasant surprise. I actually have seen a glimmer of hope to this otherwise depressing world. What do you guys think about the new Bethlehem? I am conflicted about New Bethlehem and really felt June's turmoil. I think she might just go back so she can get one tiny step closer to getting Hannah back. Unfortunately, the longer Hannah stays in Gilead, the harder it's going to be to get her back. I think she will not want to leave. As far as Serena Joy goes, it's very hard to feel sorry for her plight. Did I wish this handmaid status on her? Absolutely not. What kind of person would I be to wish this on anyone? The ironic tragedy is that Serena was an instrumental architect of Gilead, so she perhaps is now reaping what she sowed. Can't wait to hear y'all's thoughts."
I love Alma.
Yeah.
I knew Alma from a very small Facebook group that was about Game of Thrones from way before I was involved in Podcastica. And I think she just started, you know, as I was sharing podcasts, she started following it. And I saw her commenting more and more and more. And then finally I was like, just join this group.
That's awesome. Yeah, she's really cool. I think she's going to be in San Francisco for the Walking Dead finale.
Yes, I can't wait to meet her.
Me too.
Yeah, she sent feedback in too for Run For Your Lives. Mm-hmm. So she's been listening to us.
We need to have
a
drink together.
Yep,
definitely. All of us,
Leanne Hicks, another good friend of ours, says, "Thank you, Jason, Wendy, and Daphne for putting together such a thoughtful podcast. I look forward to listening to you all every week. It's such a gift." Thanks, Leanne.
Oh, thanks, Leanne.
May Almardini says, "This season has probably been my favorite so far, probably because it's much less miserable than the other seasons for June. Mm-hmm. Maybe not for Serena. But, and this is where I think the show will take a turn. I don't think Hannah is going to be saved. Sadly, I think she's going to die while they try to rescue her. Otherwise, June will have her happy ending too soon. Maybe I'm wrong, and the struggle will be that Hannah is saved and she can't relate to Luke and June. But I just have a bad feeling about the raid. Also, the only thing I have a hard time believing is that in a society that treasures children so much, they'd leave them to cry it out as they are doing with Noah. As a new mother, even imagining what Serena may be going through just broke my heart. It's not because I sympathize with her, but because I feel for the baby like June. I believe Noah is innocent and shouldn't be separated from the person who can care for him best. If the Wheelers were taking good care of him, then I'd say, fuck Serena, but don't just leave him to cry. That scene where she reunites with him and feeds him at the end, for me, is really good.
Yeah. Oh, and I forgot, May had said before that when she became a new mother that her perspective on this whole thing changed, her feelings changed. And I can totally identify with that. After I had kids, I go back and watch things that I saw before, and it's all about how the kids are being treated, or, you know, just,
yeah,
you see it with different eyes.
It also changes in other ways too. Like, when my kids were really little and I was a very like nurturing mother, I had a friend who had teenagers, and she would talk about her teenagers so awful. And yeah. I would be like, man, she's the worst mother in the world. And then you get your teenagers, and then you're like, she was 100% right.
I know. I was the same way. Like before, when Jenny was pregnant with Nico, and I'd read a column where somebody's just bitching about their teenager, and I'd just be like, God, that's just awful. And I mean, Nico's only 11, but I'm starting to get it.
You got a ways to go.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I felt the same way. I just totally changed my perspective going through teenager life.
I think Nico's probably 11 going on 25. He seems so much more mature, at least the times that we've had him at game nights. Yeah.
He is, yeah. He's super shy, though. He needs to come out of his shell a bit.
And every bad thing about yourself, you'll see, like, reflected. It's an interesting experience.
They take on both me and Jenny's bad characteristics.
Of course, yeah.
Well, our final bit of feedback comes from Sydney Seidel. She says, "Hi, guys. I just binge Handmaids. And I'm trying to catch up on the podcast. Absolutely great coverage. Thanks so much for it. I'm writing in to gush over McKenna Grace's performance. She fully scared me last season during her interactions with the handmaids at the farm. Remember when she essentially told June that she wanted them to kill everyone together? So while she's been so abused, and clearly that intensifies how dangerous she is, I believe that her character also has an innate force. I don't want all of her power to be attributed to the violence that she's endured at the hands of men. Maybe she'll be the last one to take it all down. Or maybe she'll be the one to take it all down. I wish."
We haven't seen her. I wonder if her story's kind of done for the season.
Yeah, I'm not sure. On another note, why did Lawrence and Nick need to kill Putnam right outside of the country club? That sort of took me out of the story. I do like the visual of the angel wings behind the two. We saw that similarly done behind Serena's form during Waterford's funeral, and also during June. I think it was season 3. Lastly, Serena's delivery in the bar manipulated all of my mom feelings right out onto the table, so I was annoyed when they arrested her in the end and are threatening the foster system for Noah. It wasn't very subtly played.
That's funny.
Yes.
Why did they need to kill him right outside the country club? I think I've seen other people question that. I think it's because the whole point was to not just get rid of Putnam, but also make a show of it, make an example of him so that they would have more control over all the other commanders who they knew they could get on similar charges, you know?
But that's just a perfect example of how Lawrence says he's changing things, but he's changing them through violence and control, mm-hmm. and you know, yeah. and he's justifying the means to the end that he expects.
I mean, he doesn't have respect for democracy. He thinks the people who know what needs to be done to help everyone mm-hmm. should just be in power to do it. And he thinks he has a better moral compass than a lot of these guys. So he thinks, yeah, this Putnam was such a douche, a rapist. He deserves to die. So this is no problem.
Right. He's just doing the same thing all over again.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. he doesn't, yeah, he's never seemed, I mean, well, I actually didn't know what he thought, but I can tell now based on the last couple episodes that he has no respect for democracy. And then looking back, I think, yeah, he never did. So mm-hmm.
He's so quick to want to kill the United States. Like, yeah, he's
that's right.
made no joke of it. He's like, mm-hmm. no, we need, you know, it's dying. We need to kill it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, he.
But there are some things that I think he wants to do that we agree with, or mm-hmm. at least that we would maybe sympathize with, you know? But yeah, overall, no.
He wants to make it better. I believe he wants to live in a society that isn't so oppressive as Gilead. But I just, you know, he thinks any measures to get there is okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's given himself mm-hmm. permission
yeah.
to do all the wrong things or all the brutal things to get there.
Look at Game of Thrones. Everyone is a Lawrence in that show.
Mm-hmm.
Or House of the Dragon.
Except Jon Snow.
Who would not kill... Yeah, except Jon Snow. In House of the Dragon. Yeah. Which character in House of the Dragon would not just kill their enemy in front of everybody else just to make a point? Every single one of them.
Every bastards. Single one.
And there's no...
I'm not saying I'm
trying to think. Like, are there any good people in House of the Dragon? I don't think there are.
No. I don't know. There aren't any...
I don't think there are any that...
They're still alive.
Yeah. And we don't want to get spoilers, Viserys. But yeah.
Yeah, I feel like Viserys was the closest to a moral compass mm-hmm.
yep.
that they had. Mm-hmm.
Good thing he's fine. Okay, let's move on.
All right, that's our show. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Thank you. Hope you guys enjoyed that.
Yeah, we had quite a bit. Mm-hmm. If you want to write in or leave us a message, you can find all our contact information at podcastgo.com.
While you're there, be sure to check out our other shows.
Yeah, we're getting ready to start Dead to Us. We're doing a catch-up on that show, Christina Applegate and Linda Cardellini. It's super good show, very good acting, funny but deep, and we will be starting on season 3. The last and final season comes out November, I think, 17th. So I would bet that pretty much everyone listening to me that likes The Handmaid's Tale would dig this show, don't you think, Wendy?
Yes, I do think that, and I also think it's funnier. It's
oh, yeah.
like it's Absolutely. Wittier. It's like Lawrence times 10. It's lighter
than yeah. Handmaid's Tale for sure. But I just feel like it has a similar, like, it's about women. It's
I really vibe with it because I feel like that's how I am. That's how I deal with loss and sorrow and, you know, like, just give you an example. Like, this is terrible, but my mom died and, like, it was a terrible night and everything. And then, like a couple hours later, my husband's like, well, are you okay? And I'm like, well, can I get a puppy? And he's like, well, I guess you can get a puppy. What am I going to say?
And there's so many jokes like that in the show.
Yeah.
And when we do the podcast, I will just, out of habit, like when I've done comedies, I just love to repeat the jokes and laugh. Mm-hmm. And Jade's kind of reminded me, not so subtly, you know, there's something else underneath that we should pay respect to, you know, the humanity under the humor. She hasn't put it that way, but it's making me think more like, okay, it's fine to laugh at the jokes, but then why? What is underneath that? It's mm-hmm. grief, it's anger, you know, all those kinds of things. So it's deep. It's a deep show.
And I like the way, like, she relates to her kids. That really, I can relate to that because I think we had a pretty similar relationship with our kids. Like, we were pretty grounded and down to earth, and we used humor and still do. You know, we use humor because I think you have to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if any of that sounds good, just go to podcastica.com. You can find Dead to Us there.
I'm still not caught up, but I'm getting there.
And we'd appreciate if you'd leave us a rating or a review on your podcast platform of choice. There's a link in the show notes. Thank you, guys.
Next time on the podcast, The Handmaid's Tale, Season 5, Episode 10, Safe.
No one's safe. That's
no one's safe. Lie.
I don't know why. I didn't realize that was the name of it. I thought it said something different.
Safe. Is it different?
No, it's safe.
Huh.
Are you sure?
Safe is the name of it.
Okay. Huh. Yeah, I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I think they want us to think that it means Hannah is safe, and I don't think that's what it means.
No.
I think it means not safe.
Yeah. Everybody dies.
Yeah. It means the opposite of whatever it says.
Yeah.
That's
danger.
That's what
danger.
You can take from it. Yeah. All right. That's our show.
Thanks for listening.
Don't let the bastards keep you down.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.